Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sokala Duma Radio. This is a Hagana corner.
Good day and welcome to the car wash. This is episode number 30. On today's show, Bidvest Vits on the verge of being sold. We celebrate Happy Jele, and there is plenty of international news, but none of them are coming as fast as Gabuza down the N1. I'm not alone, as you can hear. Usually a much better comedian than I tells the jokes around here, and his name is Sean Roberts. How are you doing, sir?
Slew, fantastic, brother. How are you doing, my man?
All good, all good. And we have the one, the only, Teko Mudise. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, and you, Slew Dog?
All good, all good. Well, I think I've built it up, so you might as well bring us home there, Sean. Do you have a joke of the day?
I don't know if I can beat the Gabuza one, but here we go. Did you hear about the soccer player who lived past 100? He's still alive and kicking.
Oh, no.
Yes. Oh, man. It's so good.
Oh, good stuff. And I think from there we can dive straight on into the first story.
I think so.
It's another weird one. Bidvest Wits apparently on the verge of being sold. You know, we thought it was only teams like Bloom Celtic who have this weird, very, very in-your-face but behind-the-scenes stuff going on. But it is understood TTM owner Masala Mulaudzi has made a deposit of around 10 million rand to Wits, one of our oldest clubs, to secure a deal to get their rights. And the idea would be that the students would relocate to Limpopo next season. Funnily enough, Wits board member George Mukhotsi says all of this is news to them. Players and staff, they don't know where this is coming from. So it's just another very, very strange story. There's apparently another Durban businessman who's interested in purchasing these rights. But what do you guys make of this thing? It just seems like everybody's getting a PSL. You get a PSL. You get a PSL.
It's like Oprah Winfrey here, buddy.
You know what I mean? Like, what's going on over here?
Man, if it is true, which I'm hoping it's not. If it is true, it's a sad, sad day for South African football. Like you said, it's definitely one of the oldest stadiums in the country as well. It's one of the better stadiums for me that I ever played on. I don't know about you, Teko, but that's always been like a carpet, you know, and you're sort of in front of this crowd that's on top of you. It's always been amazing. But, oh man, I hope it's not true. And what's interesting to understand is that you look at someone like Cole Alexander or Tulani Shachwai or whoever, and do you think they want to move to Limpopo? I mean, you know, all of a sudden you're talking about Tyson going to Pirates and now he's going to be playing in Limpopo. I can't see it happening. And there's also a rule, though, that if an owner has owned a club within the previous 12 months or has an invested interest, he cannot buy a club unless he waits for the 12-month period. So I don't know how this is going to all work out. So I don't know. I hope it's wrong. What do you think, Teko?
You know the old saying that says, whenever there's smoke, there's fire.
Yes, sir.
So
yep.
And we've never been in a situation where people come out and confirm the rumors. They'll always say it's new and it's all that. But I'm just saying, if it does happen because of business, because people, you know, maybe are running out of a loss. You know, they're not making their money back, and it doesn't make any business sense to go forward, which is understandable. It's just that on such transitions like this, you know, most of the time the players are the ones who are getting affected, because now the only ones who get quick recognition, you know, maybe the teams that will be interested in, the guys that have been doing well, your Tulani Hlatshwa, your Cole Alexander, your Thabang Monare.
Yeah.
It becomes easy for you guys to move around. But when you just enjoy Sean Roberts, you know, you had two games and then you don't know what's going to happen because you don't know your rights, first of all. So now you end up going back to, you know, traveling with the team to a different province and you don't even know what your future entails. So it becomes a problem, especially when those type of things happen. I think it's important for agents or for managers that manages these players and be careful of these transitions, because most of the time players get lost between you know, this type of things. But I just hope that it's not true, because of the history that the team has, you know, the type of players that it has produced before, and the type of feeling that one has whenever you play at Bidfest, because it's so small, you know, the fans there with their bands there, so it's always nice to play there. But I just hope it's not true. But if it is true, I hope that everything goes smoothly, and at the end of the day, the players, you know, get their teams, and then get the contracts where they have to play, irrespective of where they go.
Yeah.
Here's a question that I have. Isn't this a little bit indicative? I mean, there was rumors earlier this year that they were struggling financially a little bit. I do believe that there were some people who were fired from Bidvest Wits, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. But is this something that's been coming, and we just kind of went, it's Bidvest Wits, they're not going to sell. And then now, next thing we know, you know, here's this news story. But has there been this feeling that things aren't going perfectly behind the scenes there?
Yeah, for me there has. I think the minute that Brian Joffe stepped away from Bidvest and started his own sort of venture capitalist firm, that's when the sort of funding, because Wits was one of the biggest spending teams in the PSL, if you go back 2-3 seasons ago, for sure. And the minute Brian Joffe stepped away from Bidvest, that all stopped. And the minute that all stops, you know, it's a snowball effect. You get unhappy players. You don't attract the sort of players that you want. The players that deserve to be on bigger money aren't. Slew, it's not a surprise that they're on financial difficulty. It is a surprise if they do sell. But if they do sell, it's such a shame, man. But yeah, they are struggling financially, I know. But you know, you look at Bidvest as a company who made, I think, 7 billion profit last year. So you've got it's a bizarre one. They're obviously just redirecting their spend and not too much in the football space, which is sad for South African football.
I just hope that I just hope that if it's true, like if it's true that somebody from Limpopo is buying Bidvest, I just hope, you know, to balance things out, you know, teams from Limpopo, one should get relegated, because you don't want to end up having five or four teams from Limpopo, and then people are, because number one, there's not enough stadiums there. They're all going to end up using the same stadium that everybody's using. And the traveling for players as well. Let me tell you, like the most, you know, hated trips is to go to Venda and play Black Leopards, because it's too far.
My man.
Yeah, and hot. My friend, there's no umbrella there. The sun is just leaning against your back. It's just saying hi to you. And I think it's one of those situations that could be using to their advantage. But it's just that I know that, you know, with whoever that's on the verge of buying and they're in Limpopo, but they need to use this as the advantage to them, because people hate coming to Limpopo because it's too far. So they need to use that, knowing for the fact that people don't like coming there. Mm. They need to use that home ground advantage to, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I just hope that they find a way to... It just feels like maybe these businessmen are just super confident during lockdown, and they're able to just say like all these details about we don't usually hear about this stuff like this. This is very strange. So
it's very bizarre.
We're gonna have to keep an eye on that Bidvest situation, because I don't know, another Bidvest in Limpopo is just weird. Like, you don't want to ever hear that.
No. Well, I presume he'll change the name as well, hey? I mean, I think that's a given. Well, how does that work?
Yeah, he will change the name.
Vits Limps.
Yeah, Vits Limps.
Vits Limps.
Limpopo Vits.
Exactly. But moving on, we've got the International News Desk. The International News Desk is where we take a look at European leagues and check what news is popping off over there. So we've got a couple ones. One of them is really good news. One, I just want to dive into this because I'd love to get your guys' thoughts on a protest during a time like this. So obviously a lot of you know America's kind of on fire right now.
Literally
in the streets. Literally on fire. They're burning buildings. and in protest of the killing of George Floyd, another black kid killed by cops. We could get into that. That's a whole separate podcast issue. The only reason why we bring it up is because Jadon Sancho, he's like, he's not going to face any disciplinary action over the t-shirt that he had in support of the movement. It's obviously a very political statement, but I'm happy that he's not getting punishment. What do you guys make of sport being used as a form of protest? We've seen it over generations, and I think Jadon Sancho is just the latest example of that. You know, what do you guys make of using your platform in this way?
Look, I'm all for it. If it's for a good cause like this is, then why not? I mean, these guys are celebrities, and for them to get a message across, which shows that they're also human, that they also care. Yeah, man. I mean, what's going on in this world is just absolutely frightening. What's going on in the States is just diabolical. People complain about South Africa and this, but I mean, you know, we're watching the news now in America. It's absolutely unbelievable. But I'm glad that there hasn't been a sanction put down on Sancho, for sure. And you're going to be seeing in the future that there's going to be so much going on. Yeah. So much going on. This is just the start of it, man. This is crazy.
Oh, yeah, I was about to add on that, because I think Sancho is just something that FIFA needs to be prepared for. You know, because most of the time they'll say don't advertise anything under your t-shirt, blah, blah, blah. But now you're supporting a movement. So probably maybe they will start having their own type of rules following this, because it's something that is very sensitive. And when he did it, it caught everybody's eye. So people started speaking about it. And you know, whenever there's rules, and especially the ones that has gray lines, I'm sure players will start taking advantage of that. So FIFA also need to look at that. Yes, we're grateful that Sancho did that. I mean, this is a movement that we know, like you said, Slu, we've been following. It's affecting so many people, and it's getting worse every day. Their presidency is like Meek Mill, Twitter fingers, very friendly. So it's a situation that is very, very you know, sensitive. And I just hope that everything there will get sorted out, you know. And yeah, man, people could go back and be able to live their lives as well.
For sure.
Absolutely.
And moving on, we also have news from the Premier League. So they have been given permission. Clubs have been given permission to play friendly matches with strict restrictions before the restart on June 17th. So obviously it's great that the league is coming back, but they are now, yeah, they've pushed for this. They've said, you know, we'd like the extra competition before match day, before the official match days. I'm wondering why other leagues haven't done the same, come to think of it. A lot of other leagues, they just trained and went straight back in. Do you think that the Premier League is doing the right thing here, or do you think it's just kind of an extra part of training and it's nothing to write home about?
Yeah, it's. I think they are doing the right thing. I mean, we're only a couple of weeks away, aren't we, from, or not even, like 10 days away from it being restarted. It is so, I mean, Teko can verify this. It is so important. I think there's nothing more important than match fitness, I guess, in any sport, really, especially football. And especially if you're going to be playing behind, you know, closed doors and empty stadiums, you sort of need to get used to that as well, which they're going to be doing now. So I'm very impressed with the Premier League that they've given this a go ahead. I hope the PSL take a leaf out of their book and a page out of their book, not a leaf. And yeah, I don't know where that came from.
What books you
been? And yeah, I'm happy to see this. I hope they're televised. That might be pretty cool as well.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah. I think you're right, Sean. What one, it's to get minutes, you know, under your belt. And I think that's one thing that's important. And, you know, to get that competitiveness back. I think you just, you know, just install that type of thing back into the players. I think that's why they probably want to do that. And I think it's important as well for players as well to get back into those challenging situations, because it's different when you do that with your own teammate at training, and it's different when you have a training match against an opponent. So that also plays a big part. And I think also they're trying to avoid having so many injuries as much as they can. So now nobody knows what exactly that they can do to prevent them. So they're trying to, you know, probably maybe put themselves in the front foot by having friendlies and looking at who's ready for 90 minutes or who's not. But all we want is just hope that all the football will come back. I mean, it's one of the biggest leagues in the whole world. Mm. And anything, even if they can, you know, show us whenever they train, we're just waiting for them to come back and play. I mean, we just miss football, you know. And
sure.
Even if those friendlies, like Shona said, even if those friendlies have been recorded, come on, let them show us and let's see who's ready, who's not, so that we can start betting.
Yes. Wink, wink, oh, right there, Deco. I caught that. Time for a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
The Soccer La Duma newspaper is back on your shelves. That's right. The print edition is available again. Pick up a copy at your local ShopRite, USave, Checkers, Pick and Pay, Spar, and other stores. We're also available at petrol stations and spaza shops, so get your copy for only 4 Rand. If you can't find a copy at your usual store, email editor@sokoladuma.co.za.
And welcome back to the show. Up next, we have a segment called The Secret Footballer. For those of you who don't know, our sister publication, Kickoff Magazine, normally has a feature in their back page where an anonymous player or staff member from local football tells a story about what's going on. What you got for us this week, Mr. Roberts?
Yes, sir. So this player, I'm going to quote him now. He's talking about the struggle in relegation. It can be in any league, but I'm going to quote him. He says, "The priority is no longer about the success of the club. It is about the players trying to market themselves in order to get out of the situation." So it's very interesting, you know, and I pose this question to Teko. You know, at what point does it become about yourself and not the team? You know, is it always about yourself? I mean, I've got my own opinion. Is it always about yourself and then the team? Or is it team first, then yourself? And I understand what he's saying here. What's your opinion? Because it's a horrible place to be in relegation because there's so much at stake.
Yeah. You know, it's just that I've been in relegation probably for a few months and once in my life. But looking at it, I think it also, before we can actually define or get it clear whether it's always been about yourself as a player or a team, I think it also depends on what type of a team you're playing for or what kind of ambitions the team has. Because at first, you guys will always have drop a plan in the beginning of the season. And I think come mid-season when things are getting worse, especially in the office or changing coaches, which is a symptom of all the teams that are trying to, you know, that are going down. I think players start changing the mentality by then. You know, maybe 3 months towards the end of the league, players started changing and now they're becoming more of themselves. They start marketing themselves more. They don't care more about the results. And it's just that more it affects the ones that, you know, that they're not even maybe marketable or they haven't played too many games. And with the longer contracts, you know, with low salaries, they're getting affected because of the end of the day, they have to go down with the team and probably play in a lower division where they don't want to go. And now you have to, if you go into Glad Africa now, there's age restriction. So half of the team is not going to play. So it's just that it becomes worse than before. Before you go down with the whole team and then you try and work it out and come back again. Now they need to understand age restrictions, it's there, and the salary gaps as well. So whenever they're in relegation, they need to understand that them themselves who are trying to make it about themselves, they might be in that situation where they are just sitting at home without finding a team because teams now are trying to spend less and they're still trying to have younger players that have quality. So be careful. You don't have to be a player that has a stigma of wherever you go, teams are getting relegated.
Here's
a question that I have for you, Sean. Do you think that loyalty is rewarded here or in any league? And I ask you this because, you know, outside of the discussion around relegation, it just always seems to me that any very good player for a small team tends to be the first out the door. It happened that Ajax team that made it to the semifinals of the Champions League a couple of years back. Most of that team has left the squad now, and they haven't found the same level of success anywhere else. And so, do you think that, you know, that players still want to be loyal to a club? And we will get into one player, funnily enough, right after this. But do you think that loyalty is rewarded?
It's a good question. And I think in my opinion, with an obvious answer in terms of as soon as there's so much money involved, I believe, and there are exceptions, don't get me wrong, I believe that loyalty disappears from both sides. And at the end of the day, we've spoken about this at length, me and Teko, that at the end of the day, if you're not fit, the club will spit you out. If you're not doing well, the club will spit you out. So when you are doing well and there's big offers that do come in and there's more money, you've got to look after yourself. You've always got to look after yourself. There are exceptions. Don't get me wrong. There are exceptions, but it's very, very rare these days, unfortunately, because being a professional sportsman is a short-lived game. You don't know when it's going to end. It could end tomorrow. So why not look after yourself, you know, and your family? And that's my opinion. I think when there's so much money involved, and it's all about you at the end of the day. And that's what I was going to say with this player that said that statement in The Secret Footballer, that you've got to put yourself first, I believe, because if you're not happy, there's no way you can make anyone else happy in terms of a team at home or whatever. So but I hate using the word selfish. I use the word self first, to put yourself first. And I think you always have to in certain situations. So I hope that answers the question, Slew.
Yeah. I enjoy it. I like that angle. And here's another thought. And that's that it doesn't really, I think we put a lot on players, especially when it comes to like rival teams and stuff like that, where someone moves across the city and suddenly they're villainized. And I think a lot of the time the player gets the bad rep for it and you don't even know what happened behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So I'd have to agree with you there. But speaking of loyalty, Happy Jelle is celebrating 14 years with Orlando Pirates. The club's oldest servant in the team. My gents joined them back in 2006. He's been with the Bucks ever since. Two-time PSL champion, two-time MTNA champion, Nedbank Cup champ, and just one of the club's living legends. You know, he hasn't always had it work out for him internationally, and I think he's gotten a few snubs there, but in terms of his success with Pirates, there's no taking away Happy Jelle's role over the past decade and a half now. He's remarkably consistent, and I do love stories like this. It's very rare in the modern game where somebody spends so long with the team. But you know, how would you describe him as a player? How important has he been to the Bucks over the years? And what are some of the qualities that you know make him stand out from other centre backs in our league?
So here's to answer your previous question. Like, now is a time that Orlando Pirates need to step in and offer him a 3-year deal, so he ends his career at Pirates. Whether he starts or not, he's a Pirates player through and through, and you know they'll sort out the money aspect. That's fine, but I don't believe that Jelle should leave Pirates, and he brings so much to the team. Forget about how well he plays, but he's a good looking guy. He's very marketable. He speaks very well. He's an absolute leader. He's been a powerhouse for Pirates for, like you say, 14 years now. He's a hell of a pro, and these are guys that you want to keep within the squad and post squad and post career. I mean, this is a guy that you want to hopefully that gets involved in the coaching roles at Pirates. But you've played with him, mate, Teko.
Yeah, but I'm not sure about the good looking part. Do you guys need a room? That's the part that I'm not sure about. But yeah,
okay, I take it back.
I played with Happy, and you know, at the time, with them and Opa Manyisa and the late Senzo Maiwo, they were the younger ones. They were coming up as well. But to look at, because also I was telling him the other day, I was like, you know, I remember when I got there, how young he was, and how badly he wanted to be in the first team and actually play regularly, because he wasn't the player that played regularly, because at the time there was too many players coming in and out with different coaches as well. But for me to see all this transition that has been there, him growing with the team and him being one of those guys that is recognized as probably maybe the face of Orlando Pirates for so many years, we need to understand also that playing for a big team and staying there, it's very, very difficult. And he has played with all the best of the best of Orlando Pirates. He's seen everybody coming in and out of the door, and he's been there. I think this is one of the very, very, very rare stories in South Africa where a team is actually loyal to a player. And I think I just hope that in this case with the Happy, things will be, you know, this can be a story that will start that trend. Because with other teams, we saw what Mamelodi Sundowns have done, Mhlompho Kakana. And then now we in a pro, we Happy's been at Orlando Pirates even more than Mhlompho has been at Mamelodi Sundowns. But I think these are the things that will actually encourage players, the next generation, to look at the teams differently. To look at, maybe I want to end my career, I want to start there and play there. Because we see this type of things in basketball and whatever the case might be. But we hardly see this. It's very rare to find it in football, merely because we don't have a reference. And I think Orlando Pirates now, if they can do that with Happy, they'll have a reference. And then now even the ones that are in MDC, they'll look at, okay, if Happy can do that, I can also do that. I can be a one-man team. And those are the kind of things that needs to be celebrated. And as also at his age, to be still be playing, to be captaining the team, to have won what he's won, I just hope that, you know, before he retires, and he will be able probably maybe to add more, even a trophy or two, you know, for his team as well, you know, so that whenever there's a conversation a couple of years down the line, when you speak of Orlando Pirates, when you speak of the greats at Orlando Pirates, he can be among the conversations, because it's very difficult to be recognized as such in South Africa where there's so much talent. And I just want to congratulate him for reaching such a milestone. You know, not everybody achieves that. Yeah, man.
Yes, sir.
Agreed. Okay. So I'm going to throw a spanner in the works just because, you know, we have to have our debates. I think rival fans are still able to appreciate Happy Jella. There's a respect there. And I think a question that I have as a fan of Bafana Bafana, who I've witnessed have defensive issues over the years, how come Happy Jella has never really been given his respect on that level? He's only made, I think, single figure appearances for the national side. And yeah, I can't reiterate enough that at least in a country like this, we should have given more defenders a try. I mean, clearly he's good enough to play for one of the best teams in the country. Why do you think he hasn't gotten the same recognition on an international level?
Teko, I think you best answer this, but you've played with him.
Hey, talk about throwing under the bus. Hey. Look, Slu, taking nothing away from Happy Jail, I think we've seen such cases before where Dane Clay is one of the guys that won so many trophies within the country, but yet he was not given that recognition in a national setup. I think it also becomes, you know, at the time, Happy was on top of his game. He was competing. Look at the people that he was competing with. You know, he always competed when he was on top of his game. Happy was playing as a right back. He was competing with Sboniso Gaqa, Anele Ngonga. These were international guys playing overseas or playing big games more than him, because Happy also got injured. I think that also, you know, delayed so many things for him. And when he came back from that injury, he started being a center back. Now, being a center back, you're competing with Masha Maite, you're competing with Morgan Gold, Bongani Kumalo, and those are the guys that are playing regular in the national team. So sometimes sometimes you need luck sometimes. And you might find, look at the way Happy Jealous situation is. He's not recognized in a national team setup, but he's a club legend. And he's still playing the game. And then you find other guys that were recognized in the national team, but they're not legendary to any club that they played for. So sometimes it's about luck as well. So, you know, you need to accept what comes to you. You know, I think everybody has a different path. And I think for Happy, you know, of course, maybe it's one of those things that he wished that he could have done better. But here we are right now celebrating the guy that played 14 years, you know, in such a big team. Just the national team probably maybe never happened the way that it's supposed to. Maybe it would be great to have an interview with him, you know, just to hear his side of the story on the national team.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I think the main issue is that he was too good looking for the national team, which made everybody jealous. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And moving on, we have a segment called This Week in Football History, where I take a look all the way back and look at some of the great moments that happened this week in football history.
Today we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from this week in football history.
So this week in 2006, this is just funny to me. FIFA proposed an 18-team limit for top European leagues, and they all rejected it. It kind of ignited a mini beef between Sepp Blatter and the Premier League for like a couple months. A lot of people won't remember this, but Sepp Blatter was like low-key dissing the Premier League after this because they were the loudest in their rejection of the 18-team idea. This is also the week we would have celebrated Skaro Ngobesi's 40th birthday, RIP, and happy birthday to the former Chiefs maestro.
The
and also, just as a fun one, this was the week where we found out the official, full squad for the 2010 FIFA World Cup. And of course, Wantoko Modisa was included on that list. I don't know if you might have heard of him.
Nah.
He's won a couple things here and there. You know what I'm saying? But that is this week in football history. When it comes to the topic of changing the team limit for a league, very quickly, why do you think FIFA even proposed? Do you think it was like trying to create some uniformity? Because there are some European leagues that are like, that are smaller, 18 teams. There are some that are larger, 22, 24, but not the top five. What do you think? Isn't that a little strange to you? I Sepp Blatter wasn't really the most popular guy. Let's just be upfront about that. But why do you think FIFA and UEFA can have such a major disagreement over something so minuscule?
Well, it's the same as SAFA and the PSL, you know. It's the same. I don't know. Everyone wants to throw handbags and whatever, but I know the PSL have been pushing for an 18 team league for quite a while, and I've got a feeling it might happen actually. But I don't know. I don't know what the disagreement would have been. I don't see the problem having 18 teams in a league. As you've said, there's leagues with 22 teams in a league. So it's very bizarre. I don't know. I honestly don't have an answer for that, Slew Dog.
What do you think? I don't have an answer as well. Because in the PSL, we had 18 teams at some point here in us.
We did, yeah.
And then they scripted out. So now they want to get back to that situation again. Okay, for me, the question would be, what made us to have, you know, 16 teams in the first place? You know, what will be different this time? Because you don't want to be in a situation where you have 18 teams and then probably six of those teams that are there, they don't have good facilities for us to play the beautiful game that we want to play.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. Yeah,
we end up having one stadium that has been used by four teams. I think we need to be careful in terms of that and look at it properly and make sure that, you know, all these teams, because even now in Cape Town, for instance, if Ajax get promotion, there's going to be a problem. Do you understand? Yes, for football, it's great because now you have all these big three. They're going to come here three times, which is great for Cape Town football. And even the teams, when they play against each other, it's great. It's a conversation. But facilities, that's the problem. Because of what? You've got two stadiums, and also you got Glen Africa teams that are using these smaller stadium. So it's going to be one of those challenges. And we don't want to see more often of this type of situations where you have all the teams and then there's not enough facilities. Now you end up, you know, even when you have your home game, you end up playing away, and then, you know, you're losing revenues and all the stuff. So I think they need to look at that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It'll be interesting also to see how this, you know, it's still a rumor at this point, I think, but the Sun City option of, you know, what does the post-COVID-19 league look like, really? You know, we speak of this issue of facilities. There is a possibility that they might want to shrink and use fewer and fewer facilities just to be safer. I don't know if that's a long-term solution, but we'll, you know, it's always just an interesting thing to me when we talk about restructuring leagues, especially at a time like this. But here's a story that just doesn't seem to go away. Chiefs have reignited their interest in Gavin Hunt. I'm going to be honest here. It really feels like Gavin doesn't want to coach Chiefs. So I don't know why this conversation keeps on popping up. But yeah, according to CS sources, Gavin Hunt is back on Chiefs' radar. We spoke about Chiefs' coaching situation quite a few times on this show, and we've also spoken about the fact that obviously Pizzo was talking, you know, about them when he said that a rival team was chasing him. So again, it's what Deco said last time around. How are they gonna look Middendorp in the eye and be like, yeah, let's finish it off. Let's finish what we started.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. We've spoken about this at such length and how I think Middendorp is getting the short end of the stick here, without a doubt. I mean, what he's accomplished now at Chiefs is great. But like Deco has said before, where there's smoke, there's fire. And you know, and now all these rumors about Wits moving to Limpopo. I can't see Gavin Hunt going to Limpopo. Can you? I really don't. If that does happen. And so you've got to ask, geez, maybe there is something going on behind closed doors. I do agree with you, Slew. I'm not sure he's super keen on it, but I think he'll be more keen on that than going to bloody Limpopo, I can tell you that.
How do you think his skin will react to the extra sunlight and high temperatures in Limpopo?
Oh man, I'm just worried if there's any golf courses out there, because he loves his golf, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Teko has said it's like where there's smoke, there's fire. So it's very interesting, and it's yeah, I know there's interest obviously in Baxter as well, but it's a tough one, hey.
I still
don't see it.
Yeah, I think we've said this before, like we're in a situation or in a position where rumors are going to be flying around until, you know, the start of the league, or when maybe the registration is closed. There's always going to be rumors flying around. And it's worse when you're a coach that you're not likable. People can't relate to you. And we know what Middendorp is. I think the media is not, he's not the guy for the media. You know, he doesn't give them that. And, I think it's safe to say many people will like to see him leave, and I don't think these rumors will stop even if he wins the league. I think maybe if KZ Chiefs can come out and squash those rumors, I think that will be it. But for the fact that they keep coming back and coming back, and no official statement comes out from the team, you can assume that, you know, behind closed doors, you know, people are start cooking, they're putting ingredients in there, and they're trying to probably see what's going to happen come next season. And of course, as a coach, might not be a good feeling, but as coaches, I think you're going into the job, you know that any time, you know, can be your last day, and I think you're trying to do the best that you can while you're there. And I think Middendorp is trying to end his respect at KZ Chiefs. Let's see what happens. But yeah, I don't think if the team Bidvets moved to Limpopo, I don't think anybody could be in a position to afford Gavin Hunt in the first place. Imagine going to Limpopo there. I don't think they'll afford him, you know.
Look, whatever happens with Middendorp, I can tell you something, that he can leave Chiefs with his head held up high if he does go, I'm just saying. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? What he's accomplished there is great. He won't struggle to find another club, I can guarantee you. But again, we're just speculating here.
Yeah, I mean, this is my thing, is that if all of this is true, I just kind of get Chiefs come off a little desperate here, because I'm starting to kind of see most other coaches in the top five, top six teams. It looks like they're fairly comfortable. SuperSport United are happy with Gaetano Temba. Mamelodi Sundowns clearly very happy with Pizzo. Pirates have just found Zimbabwe. Yeah. You know, all of these teams seem to be comfortable, and there's just this growing unrest at Kaizer Chiefs. I'm wondering, do you think if they can't get a guy like Gavin, do you think they go international and look for an overseas coach? Copy their neighbors?
It's such a weird one. I've got a funny feeling that Middendorp would stay, to be honest. If this is true with Gavin Hunt, and Gavin says no, Stuart Baxter says no, or they don't come to an agreement, then I can't see them going anywhere else, to be honest. I can't, because to come and coach Chiefs is a different animal altogether. You can't just come into Chiefs and start working wonders. It's not like that. And obviously Tech will agree with me. It's a 3 to 5 year plan. And I think what Middendorp has done there is exceptional. and he would be very unlucky to leave if he had to go, to be honest.
Yeah, and we all know that, you know, that 3 to 5 year playing Chiefs, it's something that they don't have at the moment. So
no chance.
Yeah. So I think it's let's see what Mourinho says, and I'm sure that Mourinho can't wait to win the league and never like. Yeah, yes. You can say whatever you are now in the league after so many years. Yeah. I think it's under pressure. And I also feel like, Slu, I also feel like maybe KZ Chiefs, they're not as comfortable or confident as they were in terms of winning the league, you know? Because they probably feel like, you know, everybody is happy around us but ourselves. Because remember the Sundowns, they're showing their happiness. They come out, they sign their coach, blah, 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 fantastic. Orlando Pirates, they're talking about the future and the coach is settled there. Fantastic. The players are renewing contracts and all that stuff. Whenever it comes to KZ Chiefs, there's always stories. You know, contract delays, this. And this is the team that is on number one. They haven't won the league since Tata Madiba was still alive. They need to be careful because they are not in a situation where it's very guaranteed that they're going to win the league. So they have a mountain to climb and they don't want to find themselves causing enough problems into the team that actually distract them. Because number one, you don't want the coach to be distracted. You want the coach to be as comfortable as he was. Yes, he's got a mandate. Just remember what's in the contract. You guys, you have the mandate and then come back. Because also players also read the newspapers. Also, players go into the internet. They see all these things. So now, if as a team, you don't come out with the statement, even if it's a one line, come out with a statement and reaffirm the coach's position. Also, it reaffirms the players as well. That Ayman, Simnandi, you know, we have a coach that the team is believing in. But I'm saying, there's too many things happening at KZ Chiefs. So if they don't win the league, don't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
How about this? How about this for a question, Sean? Apart from the legacy, and we all know the Chiefs' legacy, and how a lot of coaches would love that job, but is it a desirable job at the moment? Given the fact that you can be number one, people are still talking about. So Gavin Hunt, we should call Gavin Hunt. Like, you know what I mean? Is it a desirable gig? If you were a coach, would you feel comfortable taking on a role like that?
Well. Again, Chiefs might not even be able to make any signings. Do you remember? I mean, they've still got this case pending. So,
yeah.
But Slu, I think as a player, I think if you're a local player, it might be a dream to play for Kaizer Chiefs. If you're a coach, it might be a dream to coach Kaizer Chiefs. So I think it's a desirable. I think it's a desirable club just because it's a massive club. It'll be good for anyone's CV. Would it be rainbows and peaches when you get there? Absolutely not. You know, you're going to have the backing of the management, as we know that some coaches do and don't have there. So that can make it very, very difficult. But I'm sure it's desirable for most coaches, to be honest. It's a massive, massive team. One of the biggest teams in Africa with the biggest stories, massive fan base. And you can create something special there if you're given the support. So, yeah, I think it is desirable to Slu, for sure.
Yep.
Agreed. Very scary stuff. You know what else is scary? Driving way too fast. I think our boy Gabuza needs a stern talking to. This dude was caught going 213 kilometers per hour in a 120 kilometer zone. This was on the N1 in Johannesburg. I have a few questions.
Sure.
Where was he going? Why was he going there so quickly?
And it was under lockdown, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's Sunday the 24th of May. Like, it's not, you know, maybe if this happened after June 1st and you have a couple more options to go. But I don't get it. Where is he speeding? Maybe you guys as players can let me know. Maybe he misses running down the wing. You know, maybe there's an underlying issue here. But what do you make of Gabuza, you know, getting caught speeding? Maybe let me ask you, if you were his homie, how would you give him the talking to?
What the f*** are you doing, man? That's what I'd say. Jeez. I mean, there's so much at stake here. I mean, he's just been given a new lease of life. And he's doing so well at his club. What are you doing? And I don't know if it was personal, so I hope it wasn't. I hope everyone's okay in the family and whatnot. But Yeah, but I get so disappointed when I read stories like this, that where guys have got everything on the platter and sometimes they just make such stupid mistakes and just a lapse of concentration. It breaks my heart. But I mean, there's even talks of him being arrested. It's you know, getting a criminal record. I mean, it's crazy. And I think because it's been done under lockdown, the whole situation has been sort of blown up. Which it is a hectic situation, don't get me wrong. I mean, going at speeds like that is a danger not just to himself, but imagine crashing into a family, and oh man, it's just devastating. So yeah, you know my sentiments on this. I'm not very impressed, I'm not too happy about it, but what can we do, hey? I mean, I hope everything just gets sorted out, and I hope he still continues his form on the field, because he's been doing really well.
Ah, thank you, Sean. Thank you, Sean. Mm. You said it.
Pleasure, sir.
Oh. Oh.
It's sad, bro. It's sad, bro. Teko doesn't have it sounds like he doesn't have an input yet.
No, yeah, no, man. It's, look, guys, I don't want to speak like such things are not happening, you know, and I don't want to also be like, I've probably never broke the law in terms of the speed. But now, speaking from a responsible side, is like, for Gabuza, for instance, he, like you said, Sean, has been given, you know, a new opportunity to do something with his career, revive his career, become a better person, become a better player. Yes, guys, we might have emergencies, but that doesn't give us an excuse to start doing such mistakes, because at the end of the day, the punishment is very harsh. So I think it's a mistake that people should be learning from it. I think these are the stories that should be start fading in our careers. Every season we find such a story, certain player, it's either found drinking and driving or either found speeding. I think these are the kind of things that we need to, you know, they need to let go of. These are bad habits, and I think the one thing that needs to come back, it should be being a professional. You know, professionalism should be one thing that's on the forefront. I think we should start celebrating those type of things, because people tend to forget that they're professionals by doing certain behaviors. You know, the day that you sign a professional contract at the PSL, you actually saying to yourself that I have to behave in a certain manner. You can't behave the way you were behaving when you're playing in Clan Africa or whatever the case might be. So I just think it's a responsibility type of thing. And like you said, I just hope that whoever that he was rushing to is okay. But that doesn't give anybody an excuse to break the law.
Yes,
for sure. For sure. You know, take an Uber, man. It's
but then I'm an Uber.
And you know what? I've actually cracked the case. All right. I think we're bagging on Gabuza too much. The real criminal here is Sean Roberts. You know, he's been talking about all these cars and how fast they can. He's getting in people's heads. So I don't know. Can you give us a slower one? Maybe a safe. Maybe a Volvo, Sean. How about that?
What an intro. It's the car of the week. We've seen Fortune Makaringe pictured with a BMW 135. This is considered one of the better cars on the road in terms of handling. The interior, I feel, still the A3 model tops it. If you had to compare a BMW 135 to anything else on the road, I would say the Audi S3, which in my opinion, there's no comparison. S3 all the way, ranging from 430,000 to 650 top end. I'm going to give the BMW 135 a 7.5 or 7.5 out of 10. It looks cool, sounds cool, but for me, there's something missing, or maybe it's just that I'm not a BMW fan. Boom.
BMW, they say be my wife.
Yeah, what do they? They always say, what was the old ad? BMW, was it never beats the Benz?
When something like that.
They used to like just straight up attack each other in their adverts. It was insane. But I miss those days, you know what I mean?
It still happens in America where you can advertise like that. It's brilliant to watch. But obviously, it doesn't happen here anymore, which sucks.
I mean, there is one. What's it? Nando's. But we've got to stop. I got to stop mentioning their name. All right. We're waiting for them to come through and sponsor us, Nando's. All right. Okay. We give you enough free press over here, but
one of these days.
Yeah. You know it'll help some motivation. I think that's what'll help us reach new heights, Sean. What you got?
Are we ready? This is a goodie. We must be willing to let go of the life we have planned, so as to have the life that is waiting for us. And I think this is very much in tune with sportsmen going through that transition from playing to not playing, that we sort of need to move forward for the exciting life that is waiting for us, and sort of let go of what's happened and be grateful for what's happened in the past.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a quote that is very close to my heart, and I hope it resonates with people out there.
Jew.
Very nice. Thank you very much. And that is how we wrap up episode number 30 of The Car Wash. And I'd like to thank our esteemed guests, or co-hosts rather, but Sean Roberts and Tekum Wedisa, thank you very much. And
of course,
whether you are listening on SL Radio, Spotify, Apple, Google Play, or Mahigang FM, thank you very much for joining the show. And that is how we sign off from Game Time. Cheers.
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 Today is a great day for car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sokola Duma Radio. This is Ahlangana Khona.